Howdy, folks. Today, I have titled our study, A Mature Understanding. I got some good stuff for you to think about today. First, there's two directions that we're going to approach this lesson from. And the first is this. If you are not a Christian, if you are not a disciple of our Lord, a saint, a faithful child of God, you are missing out on some obvious things, such as eternal life. Because to Christians, this is what is written in 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. You're missing things that are even present in this world at this time, before the judgment, before eternity comes about, such as the peace. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Faithful children of God have a peace that, listen, when you're in this world, you need it. I mean, just think about here in the United States of America. For some people, the best hope is that a current leader of our country gets replaced by a better leader of our country. And both choices aren't good. So it's the best hope you have is that things will get better in the flesh. Whereas for Christians, we just have peace. We can step back and we can say, it's all good. I'm a child of God. This life is temporary. I can focus on the benefits of having my brothers and sisters in Christ, people of like precious faith, people that I can talk to, a peace that the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 7, passeth all understandings. And what that peace does is it keeps my heart, it keeps my mind through Christ Jesus, because I am a child of God. If you're not a disciple of our Lord, a faithful Christian, a member of His body, the church, etc., etc., all of that meaning the same exact things, you're missing out on what is to come as well as what is. That's to the lesson now. The lesson, if you're outside the body of Christ, you got to look at it like this. That's what I could have once I'm in Christ and grow in maturity. If you're in Christ, here's the challenge of this lesson. Are you benefiting from a mature understanding? So take this from two different directions, and I'm going to present it in a way that you'll have to do a little bit of the mental work yourself. If you're not a child of God, look at it from what you're missing out on. If you are a child of God and you're not growing the way that you ought to be, think about what you're missing out on. When we look at the Bible, the Bible gives us things that a lot of times are just logical. Like, you really shouldn't even need a verse to tell you this, right? Say, for example, a person who is young versus a person who is older. You would expect that the older person would have a better understanding than the younger person. Now, that's not always the case, and we'll talk about that a little bit too in this lesson. But that's the expectation. Well, the Bible shows us things sometimes that just are that logical, not that difficult to understand. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the context here talks about what was withheld from a lot of the children of Israel because they erred. Verses 31 through 39, and I'm giving you a little bit of the context so that you can think about that. But really, the point I'm going to make is from verse 39. Well, the context tells us this. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until you came to this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, Thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. Now, here's Moses telling the children of Israel, only Joshua and Caleb and their children, and then the following generation, are going to get to enter into the promised land. What happened there was they sent spies to spy out the land. The spies gave a false report. Joshua and Caleb stood for what is right. God wanted them to inherit the promised land. They made excuses as to why they couldn't. Now that we got some of that context in mind, verse 39 makes the point that applies to our lesson. He said, Moreover, your little ones, which ye shed shall be a prey, and your children, here it is, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. They should go in thither, and then will I give it, and they shall possess it. God didn't hold their children accountable because the children could not have made a decision between right and wrong. Why? Because they had an immature understanding. They were too young to process things. We understand this naturally in a physical sense. In a different context, the Apostle Paul was talking about the time when spiritual gifts would cease. In that context, in 1 Corinthians 13, 11, he said, When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Children are by nature unaware of adult things. And if you raise your children right, you appreciate that. You appreciate that they get to enjoy childhood when they're unaware of all the things that are there and they look at them differently. I remember being a young boy in Steubenville, Ohio, growing up in an area not too far from where there was a nuclear power plant down the Ohio River. And I went to an elementary school. There, right when we looked out the windows on one side of the school, we saw the Ohio River. And we would have bomb drills in school. We did not understand what was going on at that time between the United States of America and Russia. That was during the time that is often referred to as the Cold War. We didn't know what we were preparing for. If a nuclear bomb got dropped on us, hiding under the desk wasn't going to do anything, let alone going into the little rooms that we went into for safety, we're going to be evaporated, right? We didn't know that. We didn't understand that. It was just for us as children. It was a break from doing schoolwork. It was a time for fun. We didn't understand what we were preparing for. We looked at things with an immature knowledge. When you grow up and you think, oh my, we used to have bomb drills. Whoa. When I was a child and the school was on lockdown, my elementary school was right where I lived in the housing projects. And there were shootings. There were stabbings. There was crime. There wasn't social media to advertise it. But there were times when school went on lockdown. We didn't know what was going on. We were completely unaware. We were young children. We looked at things in childish ways. Now, much of my childhood got sped up in that you learn those things once you saw them, though you still didn't fully grasp and understand it. In the physical sense, there's an understanding as a child. The same is true spiritually. In Ephesians 3, 13 and 14, which I'll come back to later in this lesson, this context, so kind of remember this. It's similar to 1 Corinthians 13. The context is talking about the ceasing of spiritual gifts. Says in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So in this context, Paul is saying, while there are spiritual gifts, the saints were in a time of immature knowledge. They had an understanding of children. So here's where the physical parlays into the spiritual. You understood these things as children. Well, and as children, you could be tossed to and fro. Another thing that I remember from my childhood, maybe you likewise had similar things. We were constantly being coached not to take candy from strangers and things of that nature, right? Well, as a child, candy is candy. Who cares who gives it to me? As a child, certain time of year rolled around, you know, I'm talking about where you go door to door and you ask for candy in a polite or not so polite way with implied different threats, etc. I did that as a child. Well, I wasn't concerned about what was in that bag. It was candy. But we'd take that candy and parents were expected to look through it to make sure there were no razor blades or the packages were sealed. Nothing was injected into it. Different types of things. As a child, it's candy. Let me get it. I don't care what's in it. You don't even think about what's a razor blade going to do if I bite into this. We understood as children that same thing spiritually during spiritual gifts. They understood as children. Now, let's take this a step further. Once revelation became more readily available, you should have a more mature understanding. So, being referred to as a child now, like as in the first century, there were times where they were understanding as children, not solely because of a limited amount of information for them, but also because there were things standing in their way of growth. One of those things, and it's an indictment, and this would be the application today, if you've been a Christian for 20 years and you haven't grown, is there a physical problem, just like there would be in a physical understanding? Do you have a learning impairment? Are you a one-talented person, borrowing off the parable of the talents, Matthew 25:14-30? Or is it the indictment that Paul laid upon the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3? He said, I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Some people, and here's the challenge if you're a Christian, if you should know better than you know, what's standing in your way? Have you just reached the top of the building of learning in the sense that you're just not mentally capable to go any further? And you got to own that if you have. You got to be honest about that. Or are you capable of learning more, but carnality or something else is standing in your way? In Hebrews chapter 5, here's this indictment laid on them, verses 11 through 14. Context talking about the priesthood of Christ up through verse 11. He says, of whom, and that is Jesus he's talking about, have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here, the milk drinker, the first principle person, is unskillful. Why? Because they've continued to be babies. What happens if you had a 10-year-old child that still needs breast milk, can't chew meat? At what point do you take them to the doctor and say something's wrong with their development? Certainly before they hit 10 years old, right? This illustration is given because we ought to understand the physical side of it to be able to think about it in the spiritual. Strong meat belongs to those who are full age, those who have matured. How have they matured? Differently than Deuteronomy 1:39, right? Deuteronomy 1:39, they are children, they couldn't discern right and wrong. Now, when we make that application to spiritual, you have people that should have moved on from the milk of the word and should have grown. So, okay, what happens? If you're sitting here going, I'm not growing. Don't just say, I'm not growing. I'll keep studying. I'll keep listening. I'll tune into more podcasts. What's causing you not to grow? You see, you got to eliminate that. Because no matter how much truth you pour into your brain, if you're a carnal or lacking in some spiritual way, that's going to prevent you from growing. Think about 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What's the first step there? Laying aside, getting rid of malice or guile or hypocrisy, etc. Getting rid of that. Then coming back to the milk. Now you've come back to the milk. Then you start to use what you're learning and growing in. You know, sometimes you got to tear down before you can build up. You go back and you learn, like the book of Jeremiah teaches us, God sent the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had a task. He says in Jeremiah 1 verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, then notice, to build and to plant. Sometimes you got to tear it down before you can build it up. Now you come back to the milk. Then you start using your spiritual thinking to discern right from wrong. Then, after you've accomplished that, you go from Hebrews 5:14 to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go again unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. See, you leave the first principles and you go on to a greater understanding. Why? Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ who are listening to this podcast, God expects you to grow, to be mature. Even within the talent pool of the one, two, or five talent person, you still ought to reach a certain level of maturity. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, the context, like chapter 13, because 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:20, in that context, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Here it is. We need to have a mature understanding. Think about a very basic principle, a very first principle. How the Lord cares about our intellect. He cares about our minds. In Mark chapter 12, 28 through 34, one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, notice this, and with all thy mind. And with all thy strength, this is the first commandment. Second is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, that there is one God, and there is none other but he. But to love him with all thy heart, notice how he rephrases this. And with all thy understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. No man after that does ask him any questions. It's great. You could do your word study on loving him with your mind, but you could allow the word of God to spell it out for you too, because it's a great commentary on itself. Love him with all the heart, with all the understanding. See, looking at the mind as understanding. What are we supposed to be? Supposed to mature, to be men, to be adults, and understanding. Your mind matters. When you look at people's sinful past, the deeds are certainly what shows up. But where does it start? It starts in the mind and the desires and all that, right? In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, you, he hath thee quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. Notice this. Among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. your mind. The church in Colossae was told in Colossians 1:21, ye that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled enemies in your mind by wicked works. So conversion definitely is to turn away from sin, Acts 26:18 through 20, where it's turn away from darkness to light, from the power of Satan under the power of God. But it also means to change in mind, change in the way that we think. And that has to continue after conversion, because you go from that babe to the mature child of God, where you have learned the principles that now you put into practice. In Ephesians 4:17 through 23, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance within them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind matters. Your mind has to grow up, has to not be childlike anymore. See things as they are. I remember during Trey, who, those of you that know my family, he's my youngest. It's crazy thinking about talking about my youngest, and here he is, a grown man out there working, 24 years old. See, just hits me. Makes me feel as old as I feel. Makes me think of myself as old as I feel. I remember talking to him years and years ago. His older brother, I had to always accompany him to the park. We have a park not too far from our house, and our area was much safer then than it even is now. We were on the outskirts of town. Now the outskirts of town have pushed much further. But he would keep wanting to go to the park. Good old Trey loved to play football, and a lot of kids would go to the park, play football, and I'd go with him a lot of the times, be with him, be a father, play with him. Well, there were times where he wanted to go by himself. And I'd tell him, no, you're too young. No, you're too young. But dad. And I asked him, I said, you want me to tell you why? I sat him down and I explained to him in detail. And I mean disturbing detail. What would happen if he was kidnapped, taken across the border, because we live 10 minutes from the border of Mexico, what would happen to him if he was sold as a little boy into sex trafficking? Because that's been a problem on the border as long as I've lived here. It has gotten a lot worse, but it's always been a problem. And as I was explaining it to him in detail, the color of his face, the intensity of his look, the fear and the disgust came over him. And for that moment, he went from a child understanding of being at the park to a mature understanding of being at the park. I think we get that, don't we? We tell our children not to cross the street without looking both ways. But when somebody learns what happens if a car hits you, that instruction all of a sudden is understood in a mature way. That's where growth comes in. Think back to what we were talking about earlier in Ephesians 4:13 and 14. To be no more children tossed to and fro. The very next verse, Ephesians 4:15, says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is head, even Christ. When somebody grows up, you're expecting them to mature. They're growing. Well, that's knowledge and the understanding, the application of that knowledge. And we're commanded. Listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ who are out there listening to this podcast. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The point of this lesson, mature. And that's not just saying I'm older in age. The unfortunate thing, I said earlier, we would get to this point in Job chapter 32. Here's the way the book of Job works. The first two chapters, Satan attacks Job from all that he has externally and then to his health and all that. Job continued to be a sinless man, perfect, upright, walking with God, not sinning with his mouth. But Job chapter 3 forward, Job and his friends start debating, and Job sins with his lips as he accuses God of things that God did not do. And his older friends spoke foolishness. So you come to Job 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram, against Job. Was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God? Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and you're very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you my opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty give them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Look at that rebuke from the young man Elihu. Sometimes somebody reaches a mature physical age, but not a mature spiritual age in understanding. That's unfortunate. Sometimes it's because of limited capacity. I know, and throughout my life have known, people that have limited capacity, and to them I lay no fault. But for those who have the ability to know better and the ability to do better, to them God lays fault, and thus so do I. What's expected of you is what you are capable of. Luke 12, 41 through 48. So what is standing in the way? Is it carnality? Is it looking to the wrong source? I want you to think about this. What if you got to get rid of some knowledge to gain knowledge? What if it's time to dumb it down in one way to build it up in another? Let me give you an example. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Maybe you have a PhD or multiple PhDs in subjects relative to the world, and that's made you dumb spiritually. Maybe it's time to let go of that carnal education and get in the right way. Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Maybe you got to say, my carnal mind is the way that it is because my wisdom is a worldly wisdom. And maybe you think yourself smart because you're Dr. Somebody, but to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're just a disobedient child of God, thus making you a child of the devil, 1 John 3, 8 and 10, 8 through 10. Maybe you got to wise up in God's ways and let go of the world's ways. If you're out there in the world, you got to realize you've been educated in all the wrong ways. You're looking at things in an incorrect manner. And if you're in Christ, but you're struggling to grow, there's a reason. If you are capable and you're not growing, there's a reason why you're not. You got to root that out and get rid of it. Tear down, destroy, like we talked about in Jeremiah 1:10, and build up. Because having a mature understanding is a magnificent gift that Christians have, that God's people who are true to him have always had. We see and understand and know better than the world round about us. Does that mean you'll be able to build a space shuttle? No, but you will be able to fly to higher heights. Does that mean that you will have the wisest decision making with physical things? No, but it means you'll know where to lay up your treasure, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Your treasure will be in heaven. You see, you will have a wisdom and an understanding and a knowledge that the greatest philosophers in the world have never come close to obtaining because they looked after things in worldly ways. I feel like giving myself an amen there. A mature understanding. Psalm 119, 89 through 105 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." What education of man can you say that about? Matter of fact, some of the greatest discoveries of time have only been acknowledged later to be wrong. Verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue unto this day, according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Every one of those verses are preachable as sermons on their own. But it proves the point I am making with abundant clarity. The knowledge we get from God puts you at an advantage. You see things the way they are. I was just talking to a brother the other day, on Thursday on the phone, and was talking about this point. You see the world for what it is. 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Now you see, people who aren't in Christ and who don't have that knowledge, they get duped because they don't understand that. Jesus told his disciples in John 15 and verse 19, "If you were of the world would love his own, because you are not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." James, we're talking about this on our Tuesday podcast, and we'll be getting to chapter 4, says in chapter 4 and verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You see, godly wisdom draws lines. "He that's not with me is against me," Jesus said in Matthew 12, 30. So we don't see people of the world as though they are righteous. Maybe you're a person of this world and you're listening to this podcast and you're saying, "That's offensive." Good, do something about it. Be born of the water and the Spirit, John 3, 1 through 5. Come and join me in Christ. Walk away from that evil world. Whose God is Satan. He's the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Walk away from that. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to live to the satisfaction of the flesh and the destruction of the soul. Christians see the world for what it is. Through God's word, think about the wisdom, Psalm 19 and verse 7, "The Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Well, why does it matter about being simple? Simple meaning naive. Proverbs 14, 15 says, "The simple," or the naive, "believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." You see, when you get God's law in you, when the word of Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom, Colossians 3 and verse 16, you hear the world talk and you know what the world promises, is likely false. And certainly, if they're promising a lot, is definitely false. You've got wisdom, such as time and chance happens to us all, Ecclesiastes 9:11. I got so frustrated. I can't remember what day it was. Wednesday. I went to an urgent care because I've still got this problem in my ear. It sounds like it's buzzing all the time, and this is just terrible. It's an inner ear problem. I know that without going to a doctor, but I thought, hey, maybe they can clean it out, do something. I don't know. So I go, waste of time. What do they know? Doctor made some statements, told me that I should take certain medications. I didn't trust him. I take heart pills. Even though I told him that, I didn't trust him. I went, looked online, went and talked to a pharmacist. By the way, here's some good advice for you. Pharmacists know more about medications than doctors do. Just saying. Talk to the pharmacist, verified that I could take certain medications. They still haven't helped, primarily because the medication I really need to take, I can't because of other medications I'm on. But I understood not to just take this joker for his word. He was on to the next patient. I'm the one that's got to live with this ear problem. Yet, if I saw that guy at the grocery store, very likely he wouldn't know who I am, even though it's just been a few days. We look at the world and we see it for what it is, evil. If I want to talk to somebody who cares, I'm going to go to my father in prayer. I'm going to talk to one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know they care. We look at the world through the lens of the scriptures. We understand what's going on now may be called something different, but the root of it is no different than what has been. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:9, that thing which hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Fact, history repeats itself. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. You can call it something different, and definitely might be an approach to something, but the root of it is still the same. In Christ, you have that wisdom. You have that wisdom to know people have dealt with this in the past. Let me see what the results were, both in the Bible and not. We use proper judgment, such as Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth is a folly and shame unto him. We know to seek information. John 7:24, when we judge, Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We know things are not always as they seem, especially, and the world acknowledges this, when it says that's, the world says that's too good to be true. Well, we who are in Christ especially understand that. Because we know that there are a lot of promises that man makes that just can't possibly hold up. You're going to give me a 10-year warranty on some product or service I'm going to buy. Who knows that you're going to be in business in 10 years? Who knows whether the parts are going to be available in 10 years? You're a man. You can't promise that. You see, so Christians approach everything without putting everything on the line because we know man can't guarantee jack, dude, right? We know who are in Christ that a mature understanding of God's word fully equips us to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. That's the sermon last week was based on this context, right? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Think about that. Information that you have been assured of. That's not of man, that's of God. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In Christ, my Lord, I have knowledge that has been tested for thousands of years and proven to stand up against time and to always be true. I can trust in God. I can trust in His Word. I can have an adult view, a mature view of all that's before me. That's a benefit of being a Christian. Now, I want you to think about this. With the Scriptures, I'm going to preach on this soon. I'm going to preach on this soon. The Word of God is quick in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. That means living. So whether the world stands another 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or 10,000 years, the Word of God will continue to live on and be applicable. Remember earlier, we read in Psalm 119:89, that Word is forever settled in heaven. So mature understanding is this. I may have wisdom today, but tomorrow, with God's Word in hand, I can be wiser. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. We can keep growing till the day that we die in the flesh. To be prudent, to be sensible, and to act with knowledge. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. So we can keep growing and continue to handle things in the wisest ways, as long as we use that knowledge aright. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pulls out foolishness. So we got to use knowledge aright. We got to apply it in the right way, but we can keep growing. So if you're out there and you are mature in Christ, don't sit down and say, I know enough. Be wiser today than you were yesterday. More knowledgeable tomorrow than you are today. Applying those things continually forward. And let's give advantage. Hey, my brothers and sisters in Christ out there, those of us who have had to tear down and start all over and rebuild, and because of that, I'm here. I had to tear down after I'd been a Christian for 10 years. I had to tear down and build again because my foundation wasn't built upon the truth, the Word of God, the way it ought to have been. For those of us who have had to start over and have had to go back on the milk so that we could grow back to the meat, not only do we need to keep growing, but let's give this advantage to the youth among us. Let's pull them up faster so that they can run with us rather than be way behind us, so that the next generation can start off at that greater level of wisdom than we are in the present. Remembering that God's Word is very much alive. There's always more to learn. The pages aren't going to come up with different print, but the applications before us are better made if we catch up to the ones that are present quicker. Let's have a mature understanding. Let's obtain it through God's Word and put it to practice. So that's what I've got for you today. I hope in one way or another, this has been a thought-producing lesson. Hope it's been a challenge to some of you. For some of you, wise up! Time to grow, time to be an adult. If all goes according to plan, I'll be back on Tuesday. Woo! James 1:17 is a great passage. That's what we're going to be talking about on Tuesday. I hope you'll tune back in and listen to that. For now, I will say thank you so much and goodbye.